Before we start our episode today, I want to talk a little bit about a hard topic, fertility. If you are one of the many women struggling to become pregnant again, just know that we're thinking of you and sending you the most positive thoughts. For mamas trying to conceive or struggling with fertility, I encourage you to check out Needed. When the two founders of Needed began their fertility journey, they were shocked to see the lack of nutrition advice provided. Along with creating an amazing line of prenatal vitamins, omega-3s, and other essentials, they offer egg quality support for women and sperm plus for men. These are things that are not often talked about. I wanted to share more about both of those products. Needed's egg quality support is designed to support egg cell health as they develop into mature eggs. Improving egg quality can support fertility outcomes. It's never too early or too late to start focusing on egg quality, but for optimal results, they recommend taking egg support at least 3 months before trying to conceive or freezing the eggs. For Needed Sperm Support Plus, it combines targeted and clinically studied ingredients, pre and probiotics, antioxidants, and botanicals for the whole body approach to male fertility. Expertly formulated for men who are thinking of trying to conceive and for men's vitality at stages of all life. If you are pregnant or trying to conceive, or even in your postpartum stages, consider switching to Needed to get 20% off your order by using code VBAC20. That is thisisneeded.com and use code VBAC20 at checkout. Hello, women of strength. It is March, which means it is my second C-section baby's birth month. I love March so much because it's also when the sun starts kind of feeling a little bit warmer and you start hearing some birds chirp. So we're kind of getting to that spring season, depending on where you are. And let's be honest, I'm in Utah, so it's still probably snowing every day in March. But I love March so much, and we are kicking it off with a really great episode. We have our friend, Noelle. Hello, Noelle.
Hi.
I am so excited for her to be on today. She is actually in Texas. And tell us where again in Texas.
The Woodlands, Texas. It's right near Houston.
Okay, perfect. And this is where you had your baby?
No, so I actually had my baby in Dallas.
Okay,
that's where we were living at the time.
You were in Dallas. It says it right here on your little form. Okay, so she was in Dallas, you guys. So Dallas peeps, or really just Texas peeps, or really anybody. We know people travel for support and things like that. This is definitely a story to listen to. And then we are going to be talking a little bit about PROM. And if you haven't ever heard about PROM, PROM is P-R-O-M, and that means premature rupture of membranes, which means your water breaks. But labor doesn't really start, so it breaks prematurely to labor beginning. There's also PPROM, preterm, premature rupture of membranes, which means your baby is preterm. So we're going to dive into that in just a minute. But I wanted to tell you a little bit more about Noelle. She is a stay-at-home mom with two boys. One is 3.5 and one is 5. So it's been a little bit since she had her baby. She actually submitted a while ago. We found this and I was like, I really want to talk about this because one, we talk about PROM. Two, we talk about finding a supportive provider. And three, we talk about induction. And I think it's important to note that VBAC is more ideal without induction, stereotypically, but it is still very, very possible with induction. And I think there's so many people that are told that it's not possible out there or don't think it's possible or think that the risk is just astronomically increased when it comes to induction. And that's not true. So Noelle has been doing lots of great things. In fact, she just told me a fun thing. She just started a company. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so I just started a travel agency. It's called Noelle Mason Travel, and I'm specializing in Disney. I love Disney. Disney, cruises, Universal, all-inclusives, and then eventually just catch-all travel. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Love it. Fun fact about me that you might not know, and it's even more about my husband. We are a big Disney family. In fact, we just went to Disney World for the second time this year.
Oh.
Just got back literally 2 days ago.
Oh my gosh, we're about to go.
We love Disney World so much. And my husband is like diehard Disney fan. So
it's
that
so
is
fun.
Really exciting. And I was just told recently by a friend that we definitely need to try a cruise. So maybe we need to connect. But
Yeah.
yes, if you guys are looking to take your family to Disney World, definitely reach out to Noelle. And of course, you could ask me back questions, right?
Yeah,
You
totally.
have. Okay, so I'm gonna go back. In addition to starting a travel agency, she loves cooking and is very passionate about pregnancy and actually started an Instagram documenting her VBAC journey. And so, in addition to fun and travel, I wanted to see if you could tell us more about your Instagram page where people can go and follow that page from when you were doing that.
Yeah, so it's called Doc Noelle Mason. Obviously not a doctor, just kind of a joke. But I created that Instagram at a time when I was grieving my first birth. And after therapy, I realized how important it was for me to just talk. It didn't matter if anyone was listening, I just wanted to talk and educate. And so I created this Instagram basically just to educate my friends, none of them who are pregnant yet, on how to avoid a C-section recovery if you have one. And it was just a video diary. There's so much content of me just sitting on the couch to my camera, ugly views, just talking about what was currently going on.
I love that. And I think that's going to be something that people will connect with because that's where we're all at. We just want to sit there and hear where someone else who's going through the exact same thing is. You
Yeah.
know, I just feel like we connect so much. And that's why I love our community on Facebook and I love this podcast. And of course, we love our Instagram pages and things and hearing everybody connect. And we've been told that people have made like actual friendships through this community. And it's so awesome. So thank you for sharing that. And
Yeah.
we will have all of the links for the Instagram page and her new travel agency in the show notes if you are interested in checking that out. We do have a topic of the week instead of a review of the week. If you're just joining us, we have for so many years done a review every single week where people comment and leave reviews and we share them. We're still loving those and we're still sharing those. So if you haven't yet, leave us a review on the podcast. It really does help us so much in so many ways and truly helps other women of strength just like you find the podcast. So you can check that out at Google. You can Google the VBAC link or, you know, Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening to your podcast. Leave a review. It'd be greatly appreciated. But today we do have a topic of prom. So, like I mentioned, Noelle had prom. I had prom. She's going to tell you more about her story of prom. And I've shared my story a million times about prom, but they say 10% of pregnancies will have prom, premature rupture of membranes. And I was 3 for 3. It just happened for me. And that can be sometimes hard because water breaks, and what do we do? What, I mean, Noelle, what were you told to do if your water broke? Did anyone say anything?
With the first pregnancy, I was told go straight to the hospital. Like, don't
Okay.
delay, get there immediately. With the second pregnancy and a better team, I was told just keep doing what you're supposed to do. Like, just, crawl, walk if you want to, but just act like nothing's happened.
Go carry on with normal life.
Carry on. Yeah.
Yes, and that is definitely something that we would suggest. Now, there are certain things that we want to watch out for, right? Like if our water breaks and it's like green, nasty meconium stained, might be a reason to go in to your provider or call your provider and have a discussion with them. There's prolapse cord that can happen, and that is a very serious situation where it's like we need to get on our head and get our butt in the air and get to the hospital. Like if there is a cord coming out after your water breaks, it is an emergency situation and is not something to just hang out and carry on with normal life. But when water breaks, what I was instructed to do with my third pregnancy, also like you, a better team, more educated self, and you know, I had doulas and midwives and everybody. It was your water breaks, you do a little check-in. What does the color look like? Okay, is it clear? How are you feeling? Do you feel like you have a fever? Do you feel like flu-like symptoms? Maybe take your actual temperature and see if you have a temperature. Okay, we don't have a temperature. We're not contracting. All is well. Put a pad on. It's probably going to keep coming just to let you know you will keep leaking. And then move, keep going. Keep going. Now, it is important to know that it can take hours. I'm serious, like hours and hours for labor to start. And Noelle's going to share her story in a second. But for me, it really took 18 hours until I was like really going with my second. And then with my first, I actually started contracting soonish. So it might not be technically prom, but I started sort of cramping and contracting. But it really took until 12 hours for me to even be 3 centimeters dilated, which was very normal as a first-time mom. So know that if your water breaks, it is not like run to the hospital. We're having a baby right this second. You're gonna have a baby in the car. It's not always like that when your water breaks and contractions aren't starting. So just to let you know, about 95% of all births will occur within the first or within 28 hours of prom when it happens at term at 37 weeks. Now, PPROM is, like I said, premature rupture or, yeah, preterm premature rupture of membranes. And that is something that you will probably want to go in for if your baby is preterm. And that happens at about 3% of pregnancies. So I just think it's important to note that it happens. Noelle and I are proof of that. And if it happens, it doesn't mean it's like run. You don't have to run to the hospital. You don't have to think you're having a baby right this moment. But it's something I suggest checking in with your provider about beforehand, saying, if my water breaks, what would you suggest? They might suggest go straight to the hospital. We know it's not necessarily what you need to do, but at least you know your provider's suggestions. Okay. All right. We are going to take a quick break for the intro, and then we're going to get into Noelle's story.
Hi. My name is Megan. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast. I am a VBAC after 2 C-section mama, a wife, doula, and VBAC educator. This podcast was created to hold space for those wanting to know their options for birth after cesarean. It is a space where you will likely find yourself getting better educated, relate to stories like your own, and finding the inspiration to help you have a better birth experience. Although we will be sharing stories related to cesarean and VBAC, this podcast is for anyone and everyone who wants to receive evidence-based information and learn how to avoid unnecessary or undesired cesareans. The purpose of this podcast is to educate and inform. It is not meant to replace advice from any other medical professional.
All right, Miss Noelle, I have taken so much of your time already. So thank you so much for talking prom with me, and yeah, let's turn the time over to you.
Okay. So with my first birth, I was the first of my friends to get pregnant. And I just had this very fairy tale view of pregnancy and birth. I really just knew what happened in movies. So, like you said, the water breaks, it's water everywhere. You run to the hospital. I just had no idea what to expect. I had listened to some birth stories enough to know that getting a doula would be important. But at the time, I thought that is way too expensive and something that I, in my first pregnancy, don't need, which is so silly looking back now, especially with my C-section bill being what it was, too expensive. Could have saved me a lot of money. But yeah, I did no techniques like spinning babies, no chiro, no PT. I just felt very unprepared. And looking back now, I think my doctor really preferred it that way. I think, she didn't ever push me in that direction. I also had SPD, and it basically felt like a knife was like jamming up anytime I would walk. And again, my doctor never pushed me in any direction. She just said, rest when you can. And that was awful. So I was also told I had an anterior placenta, which is a weird thing to remember, but I remember being a little bit scared by that. And I guess that's why I logged it. They told me there was no risk to having one. It didn't really matter. But now, looking it up, of course, I know that can really affect the position of your baby. So, flash forward to my growth scan. No surprise, I was told that he was sunny side up. And so, of course, I asked, is there anything I need to do? Does that matter? And the doctor said, no, totally fine. Doesn't matter. You'll have a healthy baby. So, I said, okay. They found my fluid was low on that scan as well. Of course, I didn't ask what the level was. I just said, okay. And they said, we want to induce you in the next few days. So, again, so excited to have this baby out with my first one. I was like, let's get it on the books. We
That's very
scheduled that.
common.
And so many of my friends I see doing the same thing. Again, you just don't know any better, and so you're ready to not be pregnant. So we scheduled it for July 3rd, which again, I think was a huge mistake, a day before a holiday. But, again, wasn't really thinking. And so I was put on Pitocin. I was already a little bit dilated, put on Pitocin, and I was dilating about a centimeter every hour. Pretty uneventful. I would have to move positions. The baby's heart was acting up a little bit, but nothing really to worry about. I got to 9 centimeters. They brought out the table, all the fun, vacuum, forceps, and I was ready to go. That was probably 4 o'clock. Well, every hour they kept coming in and checking me, and I was still at 9. So, a couple hours into that, my doctor came in and said, "We're going to have an emergency C-section." That was that. No questions, just this is what's happening.
Can I ask why they called an emergency? Like, was baby struggling, or did they just use
Oh.
the emergency to justify it as being a cesarean?
I think to just, in the time of day, like, let's get this baby out of you before it's midnight. We want to go home. But no, baby was fine. Like I said, the heart was acting up a little bit, but no one was concerned. She just said, this is too long to be dilated like this and not have any movement. And again, I, first time mom, no prep really. I was just like, okay. And so I remember crying. My mom's crying. I'm crying. We're both just a little nervous about what's about to happen. And the doctor came in and sees us crying and goes, "Don't worry, I'm gonna have you back in that bikini by the end of summer." And it still just has stuck with me. What a like routine moment this was for her, and not a big deal to her. Like she just thought I would be worried about my body. It was just so ridiculous. But the birth was fine. We talked about the Bachelorette. It just was not what I thought would happen
You
as they're operating the
it's
Bachelorette.
like during your birth?
During my surgery, both the OBs are talking and about the Bachelorette, and I'm chiming in, and I'm just thinking, this is not what I had planned. This is not the moment I envisioned. It was really weird. So that next morning, I'm recovering, and my mom comes in and is like, "Hey, I don't know if you know, but one of my friends had a VBAC after her C-section with her second baby. She had a VBAC, and I asked her what a VBAC was, and we talked about it. And right then, I decided this is what I'm going to do. I'm not doing this again. Like, I am not doing this again. I'm going to have a VBAC." And so, flash forward about a year, I decided we would get pregnant again or would start trying. And we got pregnant right away, thank God. In this time, I happened to find this article on Google listing hospitals to avoid for C-sections in the United States. Yep, you know the article. Mine was number 8. Number 8. So I could only laugh at that point. Like, okay, all right, this time I'm going to be doing my research. So when it came to choosing my provider, I really felt like that was the biggest thing that could set me up for success. And so I knew I wanted to have the baby in a hospital again. I wasn't sure if it was going to be with midwife or OB. And so I joined a Facebook page. It wasn't ICANN, and I It was a group of Dallas, it was a C-section awareness group, a Dallas page. And there was a supportive OB who was mentioned there. And I had an appointment with him, and he was fine. Nothing to write home about. This was also during COVID. And so all of those rules, were in place and were mattered. And so I also started searching for a doula at 8 weeks. Because I just figured if I'm going to have one, let's have one. I'm going to have them the whole time. And one of those doulas suggested moving practices to a group called, they were Dallas Midwife Associates, and now they're Midwife and Co. And they are known for supporting VBACs. And the hospital that they deliver in, Baylor, is also known for just being a very VBAC supportive hospital. So I switched to that group. And the coolest thing about them is you see a different midwife every appointment you go to. They just cycle you. So by the time you're ready to have your baby, you know everyone on the team. They all know you. You're not worried about your provider being on vacation. And there's no pressure for induction or anything. They were so amazing and awesome cheerleaders. And the OB that they are in practice with who would do a C-section if I needed one or became high risk and had to go see him, he was also supportive. So that was awesome. I cannot recommend them highly enough. But yeah, just preparing this time, I think being so clear with myself about why I wanted this VBAC. And for me, it was the biggest thing at the time was the recovery. I didn't see how my kids were going to be 21 months apart, and I did not see how I was going to be able to have basically a baby and another baby if I can't lift up the first one. He was still in a crib. I didn't see how that was going to work. And so the recovery was super important to me. The experience was important to me. And I wanted to do everything in my power this time to know that if I had a C-section, it was a true emergency, that I could look back on that birth and say, well, this is what was supposed to happen. This is why C-sections exist, and not, oh gosh, I could have done XYZ differently. And so this time, I also had the SPD again and was not about to let that fly with a toddler. Like there's, you're constantly moving. And so I couldn't be in pain all the time. I went to go see a chiropractor. I went to physical therapy. They both recommended spinning babies as well as my doula. So I did spinning babies. And I was kind of crazy about it. Like the whole don't recline more than, you know, 90 degrees. The flashlight trick thing, that was everything to me. So 30 weeks and on, you would not catch me reclining. Like I sat with the best posture or just laid flat on the couch because I was not about to have a sunny side up baby.
I can totally relate to that. I didn't sit on a couch. I didn't even sit on a couch because I was like, I'll sink too much and it will turn my pelvis in. And I remember driving all like back up, like pelvis, you know, tucked forward, like
on the tip of your chair,
on the tip of my chair, like not wanting to have a posterior baby at all. And then I got one.
It just shows you. Yeah, exactly. You're not really in control of it, but. And I asked about my placenta this time. Again, that's nothing you can prevent, but I knew I had lower chances if it wasn't interior. And so that was good for me to know that if it was, I would need to work even harder. I don't know how I could sit up any straighter, but do my best.
Yeah.
And then I also had what's called an overactive uterus, I guess. I just had constant Braxton Hicks, you know, like Google would tell you to go into the hospital. You are in labor. So many Braxton Hicks. My belly was just constantly hard. So because of that, I didn't do any of the tea. That would make it worse. Anytime I tried, I would like have more Braxton Hicks.
Yeah, because it's a uterine toner. So that's what it is made to help a uterus that is contracted be more efficient. So if your uterus is hyperactive, already contracting, it's going to try and make it contract.
Yeah, it would go nuts. Yeah. But I did do the dates. I'm a big believer in the dates. Plus, they taste awesome. So there was really no harm in that.
We're going to take a quick break to continue talking about fertility. I know many of our beautiful women of strength listening join us right after their cesarean birth. And when you're in your postpartum stages, many of your nutrition needs actually increase. And if you're thinking about having another baby, I invite you to take a moment to educate yourself on the support that our favorite prenatal supplement Needed offers for both fertility and postpartum. When the two founders of Needed began their fertility journey, they were shocked to see the lack of nutrition advice provided. Along with creating an amazing line of prenatal vitamins, omega-3s, and other essentials, they offer eggs quality support for women and sperm support for men. Again, this is not something we often talk about. Male fertility impacts conception and a healthy pregnancy, and it is in decline due to stress, toxins, aging, and other lifestyle factors. Hormone and gut health of your partner directly influences sperm quantity and quality, and ultimately the DNA passed from sperm to baby. I love that Needed not only thinks about the female fertility, but also about the male fertility. Needed does an amazing job thinking about and supporting us women through the fertility journey. They offer prenatals, omega-3s, antioxidant-rich and egg quality support supplements, and it is formulated by prenatal health practitioners to help you and your eggs thrive. You are born with all of your egg cells, or oocytes. And the oocyte takes 3 to 4 months to mature before ovulation. Needed egg quality support is designed to support egg cell health as they develop into mature eggs. Improving egg quality can support fertility outcomes, and it's never too early or too late to focus on egg quality. So we hope you can check out thisisneeded.com and enjoy 20% off with code VBAC20. Again, that is VBAC20 at thisisneeded.com. Back to today's show. Let's take a moment to talk about Coterie wipes, because they're just as amazing as their diapers. These wipes are made from 100% plant-based fibers and are up to 30% larger than most other brands, making them perfect for even the messiest of situations. They're also hypoallergenic and dermatologist tested, so they're safe for newborns and even eczema-prone skin. One of our team members shared that these wipes have been a game changer, gentle enough for delicate skin, but durable enough to get the job done with fewer wipes. They've even earned the National Eczema Association's Seal of Acceptance. You guys, you can pair these with Coterie diapers for a high-performance diaper duo. And do not forget, you can get 20% off with code VBAC20 of your first order of $40 or more. Add a pack of these incredible wipes to your order to see the difference.
Okay, so flash forward, it's 38 weeks, and I was, you know, off and on higher blood pressure, but on that day I had a reading of 137 over 95. And so they began to get a little worried and just said, okay, you should monitor this at home that whole week. And then at 39 weeks, we can figure out if this is still a problem. And they did mention an induction then if the blood pressure continued to rise or stayed the same. And so I came in at 39 weeks. I was planning on not getting my membranes swept. I wasn't into the risks of that. But with the induction looming, I guess I should say, they did test my blood pressure that day, and it was 137 over 100. And so the protein in the urine was negative, but they were still a little worried because it wasn't really going down. So I went out to the parking lot, I called my doula, and we decided that I would get swept. At that point, the induction was just going to be a few days away, so we figured the risk was probably worth it at that point. And went ahead to get checked for how dilated I was. I really wanted to start with the Foley bulb instead of Pitocin if it was possible, but they ended up finding I was 4 centimeters dilated. Yeah. And 70% effaced. Yeah.
Okay. So that's great.
It looked like I was ready to go. I got swept that same day. Again, I said this was COVID and the shots had been out for like a month. I found a place for my husband to go get a COVID vaccine because I was crazy pregnant hormonal. And I kept hearing all these horrible stories about husbands not being able to be in the birth because of them having COVID or something. And I remember him saying, so Baylor, he's a Baylor sports fan, and Baylor has been awful for forever, but happened to make it to the national championship that day and that night. And he was like, I don't want to feel sick for this game. I'm not going to get it. And of course, me being almost 40 weeks pregnant, could have cared less how he felt and if he was going to feel sick. So the poor guy gets his shot. I'm having contractions at that point, thinking that it worked. So I'm walking around the living room like, we're about to have this baby. And he starts shaking and drops his water glass, shatters all over the ground, came down with a 104 fever in the middle of this game he has been waiting for his whole entire life. I'm contracting. It was so stressful. So I called my neighbor and was like, hey, I think I'm having this baby tonight. I might need you to drive me to the hospital. I don't know if Luke's going to be able to be there. I mean, he was like in bed, not okay.
Oh my
awful.
Gosh.
It was so awful. So I was just praying like, Lord, I know I've been asking for this baby to come, but please, 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 can you stop all of this? And I woke up completely, you know, everything had stopped. So thankfully his fever went away throughout that next day. And my doula recommended I would go to get acupuncture, which I thought acupuncture was the same thing as, like, I thought it was acupressure. And I was expecting to go in for a
Like a
massage.
massage, yeah. Very
Oh,
different, very different.
very different. Very different. I was a little freaked out by all the needles. The next morning, I woke up and thought, oh crap, that didn't work. What was the point? So that morning was the 8th, and I had an appointment later that day to talk about the induction. I dropped off my son at school, and I always heard on this podcast, labor will start when you put your kid to bed or they go to school. And I always thought that was so funny. Didn't think it would be me. So I drop off my son at school. I go to my chiropractor's office and I text my doula and I'm like, I think my thighs are wet. I feel like maybe my water broke, but you know, there's so much nasty stuff going on down there at the end of
Yeah,
pregnancy.
yeah.
I kind of talked myself out of it, went to the bathroom and was like, no, I'm just like not in control of my bladder anymore. I don't know what's going on. On the whole drive home, I just felt like more and more liquid. And then getting out of my car, my neighbor and I were getting out at the same time. And I start walking and could just feel like more and more wetness. So I just
Yes.
stopped, you know, just stopped and waited for him to go inside. And finally it hit me like, okay, this is
My water
not, this has to be my
broke.
water. Yeah. So I called my midwives and my doula, and yeah, everyone said just continue doing what you're doing. Everything looked normal. The liquid was clear. I really did not want to be induced. They knew that. My doula knew that. So that whole day, I did everything I could. I did curb walking. My doula gave me a circuit to work on. I did the spinning babies, and nothing happened. My blood pressure was still high. So they wanted to see me that afternoon to do a stress test, make sure the baby was okay, check on blood pressure again. So I went in. Did the stress test, baby was fine, but they said, we'd like you to go to the hospital tonight around 9 if nothing has started. Nothing started. So I was upset, but again, I trusted my team, and that was the difference here. And they were still great with me having a VBAC with Pitocin. There was never a moment where they considered not letting that happen. So I got to the hospital, decided to labor until. Asked if I could labor until 3 a.m. and just see if it started. Didn't start. They got me on that Pitocin. And at this point, I was still hoping to do things as natural as I could while being in the hospital. I was really hoping to avoid an epidural. I, again, was not happy about the risks of an epidural, but those Pitocin contractions really were coming on strong. I remember going and trying to labor on the toilet and sitting on the toilet and feeling and hearing what felt like a bowling ball, like dunk. And now I think it was probably the baby settling into a better position. At the time, I hated it. I hated that feeling. I literally looked around and was like, did you guys hear that? It felt internally so loud. And at that moment, the contractions started coming on strong, even stronger than before. And so at this point, it had been 24 hours without sleep. I was not taking the contractions well. I said, let's do a check. If I am an 8 or higher, I'm having this baby without an epidural. If not, we'll see what happens. I was still a 4. And so again, I don't think I would recommend if you would like to go without an epidural, like don't get checked. Just don't get checked. And I knew that, but it was a different moment when I was actually in labor. So the upside is I was finally able to rest whenever I got the epidural. And a couple hours later, I was a full 10 and ready to go. And so they had me labor down for a little bit, but I will never forget that moment. As a VBAC mom, when they told me I was at a 10, like having never gotten to the 10, oh, I get chills just thinking about it. It was so special. And so I'd labored down for an hour. They turned down the epidural. I could not feel my legs. And so again, Baylor is a teaching hospital. So I had a nurse in training, I guess. I had my midwife, and then they had a midwife in training at the time. And then my husband and my doula, all in my room, just surrounded. My husband hates it when I say this, but it was like the feminine energy. It was just so amazing. And everyone was so hyped and excited for me. I don't think anyone pushes like a VBAC mom pushes. I felt like I was going to throw up. I had this ugly rag on me, but I could have cared less. I was just so excited to get to push. And so the baby came out with my first. So my first baby was 7 pounds, 12 ounces, 21 inches long, normal size baby. This baby came out and was 10 pounds, 4 ounces, 23 3/4 inches long. I grew a mega baby compared to this first one. And so it was just so great. I didn't do the growth scan with this baby because I was so afraid that if they told me that the baby was big, that I might be tempted to get a C-section or scared out of having a VBAC. And I knew like our bodies were made to do this. No matter how big this baby is, my body can do it. So yeah, that was that.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. And I am so grateful that you had that team and that energy, because that energy is so important. And I do believe that it helps us VBAC moms and really any mom get through that end stretch that sometimes can be intimidating, or it can be longer, you know. And then I love hearing that, you know, you got to not only have your VBAC, but then it was like, not only did I VBAC'd with a baby that was almost 3 pounds heavier, like bigger than my other baby. Yeah. And so many women of strength, you know, we listen to this podcast. I'm sure you've seen it in your forums. People don't believe that they can do it because our providers and our system kind of tell us we can't, because we go through these growth ultrasounds and they create some fear. And so I love that. Like, I love it so stinking much. Oh, that's so amazing. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. It was amazing.
Are there any other tips that you would suggest in, you know, finding a provider or dealing with prom and not getting frustrated? I think, you know, one of the best tips that you would give to someone was making sure your provider and the providers they work with are not just VBAC friendly, you know, but they're really supportive. And do you have any tips into that?
Yeah, I always tell my friends, because if your team doesn't trust that you can do this, that's going to really set you up for failure. I just know so many people who are like, oh yeah, I asked my doctor if I could have a, you know, VBAC after my C-section, and they said, sure, we'll just see how this will go. And my heart drops. I'm like, this is not going to go well.
You're like, actually, that's a red flag.
It's a huge red flag. It's a huge red flag.
Yeah.
And I know me, who can be a worrier, it was really important to me that everyone who would be around me was supportive. Because if I had one person come in there and try to poke my bubble, it could start getting in my head. And that I don't need that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And not even just your providers, but your team and your atmosphere around you. I mean, sometimes in that end of pregnancy, when we're being told like, oh, why haven't you had a baby yet? Or your baby's going to get too big, especially if they were ever given a diagnosis of CPD, you know, where her pelvis is too small or anything like that. It can really, like, the things that people say, it can really get into our mind. And so we have to protect that bubble and not let anyone try and poke it and pop it, because you deserve to feel safe, loved, supported, heard in that bubble.
I think listening to the podcast, right? Like, I listened to this podcast every single day while I would walk with my firstborn. Mm-hmm. And that helped give me the security. I knew like, okay, this other mom had this story that's similar to mine. I can do this. If she could do this, I could do this. Yeah. So it didn't matter whenever I had people come in who had no idea what a VBAC was, try to talk me out of it. You have no idea what you're talking about. I have equipped myself with so many other
you're like, I actually do.
Stories. Yeah, right. I'm Dr. Noel Mason. I knew it. So yeah.
I love that. I am Doc Noel. So hear me,
don't try to
okay?
Tell me that.
Another thing that I kind of pulled out from your story was you reaching 10 centimeters and having that feeling and not even maybe realizing how badly you needed to get to that point or hear those words. And so they're just milestone markers. And I was in that too. Like I needed to get past 3 centimeters because I was told that my body couldn't, right? And once I was past 3 centimeters, it was like, okay. I was weirdly able to get rid of, even though I knew in my mind I could dilate past 3 centimeters, I knew I could. There was still this weird hang up. And so once I heard that number past 3 centimeters, I can't explain to you this like utter relief and like aha moment of like, okay. And it gave me this surge of power and strength to hear these. And so I think it's really important while we're preparing for our VBAC to process our past births and realize what might be triggering and what might be milestone markers that help encourage you, and communicate that with your team. Let them know, like, you guys have never made it past 9 centimeters. I hung out there forever. I was told I needed an emergency C-section. The number 10 is going to be a big deal for me. Like, I need you guys to help me with that, you know, or whatever it may be. Or I really don't want this to happen. Can you help me avoid this? I think communicating with our team comes with preparing for a VBAC, but also processing things mentally and understanding those big moments that you need is okay to be like, yeah, that actually was a big deal for me. This is a big deal for me. My water breaking was a trigger for me, but then to hear that my body could get past 3 centimeters on its own was a huge deal. So I just love that you're like, I felt that, because I could just really remember back when I felt that moment of like, yes, I can.
I can do this.
I can do this. And women of strength, as you're listening, I want you to know you can do this. Noelle and I are two of thousands and thousands and thousands and hundreds on this podcast who have come before you, who have done it. And it is possible, but you do have to set yourself up in all the right ways. And we know even then, sometimes you can do everything right and still not have the outcome that you want. But our goal here at the VBAC Link is to help you have a better experience. So getting that information, building your team, finding that supportive provider, all of that, and then also knowing your options if a cesarean is needed. I just think it's so important to know that you deserve it, you can do it, you are worth it. You were worth it. And like Noelle mentioned in the beginning, like I didn't hire a doula because of like costs, and I just thought it could be by myself. And then she had this massive cesarean bill. You know, sometimes these doulas or education courses or whatever, it may, going to PTs and chiropractors, it may seem like it's too much financially, or you can't do it. But in the end, it really pays off. And I'll tell you, there's not a single day in my life that I look back and be like, I can't believe that I went to this 2 chiropractors and paid this much for that, paid for my doulas, paid for an out-of-hospital birth. I never even questioned that. Like, that money was well spent. And even if I didn't have a VBAC and had to transfer and have a cesarean, it still would have been well spent because I had a better experience. I felt empowered. And yeah, so I'm also going to plug Be Her Village. I'm sure you guys have heard me talking about it before. I love that company. If you are in that situation where you don't feel like you can financially do it, go register for Be Her Village. You guys, people literally, it's a registry for doulas and postpartum and PT and chiropractor and all these things. It's a place where you can go, because I'm sure Noelle will say it's worth it.
Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Yeah. And hire a doula early on. I think having a doula early on in your pregnancy that can literally walk through this journey with you is so powerful. And it might not be something you talk to her every day. You know, it might not be like that, but having that person in your corner, I love that you were able to go outside and call and be like, this is a situation, let's walk through it, and have that sounding ear and extra opinion. And in the end, supporting you in whatever you decided, and you decided that together, that you wanted to do that. I think it's so, so powerful. So as a reminder, also, we have a whole registry of VBAC doulas. You can go to the vbaclink.com/find-a-doula. They are literally trained in VBAC and know the options and want to help you navigate that. So Yeah, any other tips that you have?
No, but thinking of the doula thing, again, the 8 weeks, that is so important. I know a lot of people are like, I don't even know if this baby is viable yet. Like, I don't
I
even think
know.
I had had my first appointment.
Ultrasound.
Yeah. I had no idea. But if it weren't for interviewing those doulas, I probably would have stuck with that original provider that I had in mind and gone the whole pregnancy with them. Because if they would have told me to switch at 20 something weeks and my provider was fine and supportive, there would have been no reason to switch. So I'm so glad I talked to them when I did.
Yes. Oh, that is such a powerful thing to remind people of because doulas know the area. Doulas work with these providers all the time. Now, it's outside of our scope to be like, this provider is garbage, don't go, or tell you what to do exactly, right? But at the same time, and maybe it's not really outside of our scope to say that. Maybe it's not really. It's maybe just not appropriate to be like, this is garbage. But at the same time, we can be like, hey, this is what I've seen. I would encourage you to check these people out. Also, hey, here are some questions to ask for your provider. You know, I love that the doulas know the providers in the area and they can help guide you through what really is that supportive provider.
And supportive hospital or birth center, whatever they know, they've been there. They have been to more than we have, you know. So,
There is a hospital here in Utah that anytime someone wants to VBAC, I at first for a long time was like, okay, like, just do whatever feels best until I saw too much. And now I was like, listen, I'm gonna be straight with you. And you don't even have to hire me if you don't like my honesty. But if you want a VBAC, you're going to the wrong place. Like, I
Yeah, that's
have said
powerful.
that. I've had said that. Like, you're going to the wrong place. And so trust these people. They know, they've seen it. They're there. They're really there. So, yes. Okay. Well, thank you so much again for your time today and your stories. And congratulations on your cute, chunky baby.
Thank you.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbacklink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Hey everybody, I just wanted to take a quick sec to thank you all so much for listening to today's episode. We are so glad that you are here. This community is near and dear to our heart. We love you all so much. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating and review. Our whole team here at the VBAC Link actually gets to see these reviews come in, and it makes our day. A 5-star rating helps us share our podcast and gets these important messages out there. Thank you so much for listening, and we cannot wait to see you next time.